Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
I was getting gas just the other day, and aside from the fact that it cost almost $100 to fill up the car, I caught myself doing something, and it really surprised me. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program, everybody. Good to have you with us today. As I got out of the Cadillac, I made sure that I was looking both ways, got out, made sure the car was locked, and my head was on a swivel. And it dawned on me midway through filling up the car, which cost nearly $100, that I had been taken in by this culture of fear that has gripped the nation over crime. Because when you are at a gas station in Memphis, Tennessee, more often than not, you are likely to be the victim of a carjacking. And it's not just in Memphis, but it's all over America. There is a Senate hearing underway where they are actually talking about specifically about carjackings and how violent these carjackings have been. And the reality is that a lot of this has to do with the fact that the Democrats have been very successful in defunding police departments across America. So the Senate Judiciary Committee has been talking about this and dealing with it. They're not doing anything about it, but they're talking about it. And you've got Republicans and Democrats that are now wanting some sort of a federal carjacking statute. How about this? How about enforcing the freaking laws that are already on the books? But they're not doing that because you have activist judges like Ketanji Brown Jackson who are out there letting the criminals go. And we're going to get to her in just a few minutes. Wow, Biden picked a real winner with that one. I can tell you that right away. But just here in Memphis, carjackings have skyrocketed 60%. Again, carjackings up just in Memphis, what, the second most or third most deadly city in America. Carjackings up 60%. Folks, all I can tell you is you need to be armed. Now, in general, you need to be armed if you're out in public. You need your concealed carry permit. But if you're in Memphis, Tennessee, you better be, because you're literally putting your life in your own hands. Last night, we were watching as the violent tornadoes, and man, you folks in Texas and Louisiana, Alabama, it's a mess, and the tornado's coming down. We've got all these videos up on our website, so we're doing the live coverage, providing coverage of the tornadoes. When I saw a story out of New Orleans, and we're starting the show off today because it really angered me, but there was an emotional response when I heard about this. This horrible story. It happened earlier this week. The lady's name is Linda Fricke. She is a 73-year-old. She is a grandmother. And she was killed during a carjacking. Four teenagers have been arrested and charged with her crime. Now, I want you to listen to the local television news accounts of what happened to Mrs. Fricke as she was just sitting in her car minding her own business.
Monday afternoon, Austin Northcott knew something was wrong in his mid-city neighborhood.
I heard screaming, like you're about to die sort of scream, like one you don't hear. It's just not a normal scream.
Those screams were from a 73-year-old woman across the street who police say was carjacked and dragged to death by her own SUV. Witnesses say it happened when a vehicle pulled up next to her parked SUV on North Scott Street.
It's just heartbreaking to see that.
Witnesses say the woman was caught in her seatbelt and dragged as her SUV sped off on Bienville Avenue, just steps away from Mark and Leanne Mascar's front door.
I just started screaming and running because I just wanted to get this person from this car. And if I could do that, I could help this person.
Police say the woman's arm eventually detached from her body on North Pierce Street, freeing her from the SUV. Neighbors ran over to try and help.
She was still breathing. She was very slowly breathing.
I tried to call 911. Unfortunately, the phone rang for over 4 minutes and 45 seconds before I hung up from 911.
Todd Ecker says someone eventually got through. Mascar says it took 10 to 15 minutes for paramedics to get there.
She's still breathing. I could feel a pulse. And the anger was like, where the hell is the ambulance? You know, we were there and I kept hearing loads of police cars turn up, but no ambulance.
When it did, paramedics pronounced the woman dead, leaving folks in this neighborhood horrified and police searching for four suspects.
They didn't just see the car, they murdered someone today.
Yeah, I mean, it's Monday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not, everybody's out getting lunch, not worried about, you know, whether or not they're going to live or not.
It was one of the most grotesque, surreal, horrific things I've ever seen. Complete reckless disabandon, no regard for human life.
About 15 blocks away, on the corner of Dumaine and North Dupree, police found the SUV abandoned in the Bayou St. John neighborhood. Two crime scenes, adding to a growing list of deadly violence in New Orleans.
In the end, it's just the criminals that are ruining it for everyone who lives here.
There is something really wrong when you have to walk outside your house and that is part of your day, that some woman is getting dragged down the street.
Mike McDaniel, Eyewitness News.
What they will not tell you, but we will on this program, is that four black teenagers dragged a white woman through the streets of New Orleans in the middle of the freaking afternoon and ripped this woman's arm off. The arm was found just lying in the street. You're not going to hear that on the national news. But you need to hear about this story. This happened in a very nice neighborhood. This happened in the middle of the afternoon, broad daylight, 1:30 in the afternoon. And people were horrified. Now, you can say what you want to say about whether or not we should be talking about race. But I will tell you this, if the story had been four white teenagers dragged a black person through the streets of New Orleans, everybody would have forgotten about Ukraine. We would not be talking about Ukraine. We'd not be talking about the China virus. You'd have every single cable news station in the country, in New Orleans, in the Big Easy, talking about race relations in America. Now, I've seen the video of what happened, and it is as horrible and as grotesque as you could imagine. But I also noticed something else about this video, and I want you to think about this for a moment. We have now been conditioned. Now, back in the early days when you had the Muslims blowing things up and flying jetliners into buildings, there was something the government told us to do. If you see something, say something, right? Well, now guess what's happened? When people see something that is just quite not right and they call the police and it turns out that it may not be anything, or that there may be something there, the people who call the police are then publicly shamed and accused of being racist. So what happens? Nobody's calling the cops anymore. You see anything weird going on in your neighborhood, you turn a blind eye because you don't want to be accused of being a racist. So I watched this video, and I watched for a good 15 or 20 minutes as these four teenagers were walking up and down the streets. They had the hoodies on. And again, you can't say anything about hoodies or else you're a racist. They were literally casing the entire street for about 15 or 20 minutes. Nobody said anything. Nobody did anything. Everybody turned the other way and went about their business. And now you have a grandmother who is dead, literally dragged through the streets of New Orleans. Could you believe it? Imagine that was your grandmother. And we don't know what she was doing, going to the grocery store. I don't know. By all indications, this is a sweet, beautiful, wonderful woman, so beloved in the neighborhood. And these animals, they beat her. and they dragged her body through the streets of New Orleans. It was such a gruesome thing that her arm, her entire arm, was severed. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a problem in this country. We've got way too many moms and dads who are not there. I would be willing to wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich that these kids, there's only one parent in the home. But that's no excuse. I know a lot of single parents who have raised good and honorable, decent, godly people. But we're not doing that anymore. We're raising a generation of animals. And I don't know, we're talking about kids. We're talking about 14, 15-year-old kids that did this. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised. We live in a nation where, you know what, abortion is the law of the land. You get pregnant, don't want the baby, kill the baby. No big deal. We have no respect for life in this country. And you want to know how I know that? Just take a look at what passes for entertainment in this country. Just take a look. Take a look at the movies, on TV, on the video games and the music. You listen. That's what our country thrives on. Violence. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised when a bunch of teenagers go out there and brutally murder a 73-year-old grandma. Now, the mayor of New Orleans is weighing in on this. She's one of these far leftist, defund the police, woke wackadoodles. Her name is LaToya Cantrell, and here's what she had to say.
This is Mayor LaToya Cantrell taking a minute to speak with you directly in regards to the horrific carjacking on yesterday that left one of our residents, our senior residents, deceased. Absolutely unacceptable. I will continue to lift up the family in prayer and pray for the soul of our resident who died because of the hands of young people in our community. Because of the swift action of our New Orleans Police Department, four juveniles were arrested and will be held accountable. Thank you to our officers who were relentless and very aggressive at solving this crime. Absolutely, it doesn't bring our victim back to life, but it does remove these criminals from the streets. Now, we absolutely have to address juvenile crime in the city of New Orleans. The New Orleans Police Department is doing just that by making the key arrests necessary. I also want to thank one of our parents who stepped up and she told her daughter, "You have to tell the truth and give it to them straight." This young person did. We need our parents to do all that you can as parents to ensure that your children are not breaking the law and are not a part of violent acts in the city of New Orleans. We're going to do all that we can as a city in regards to our law enforcement agency that is under my authority, which is the New Orleans Police Department. We're going to continue to work with criminal justice partners around the clock to ensure that justice prevails. And accountability breeds accountability.
Okay, enough. You know enough. I'm sorry. I'm tired of this woman's crap. She doesn't care. I am so sorry that one of our residents is deceased. No, ma'am. She was murdered, dragged through the freaking streets. Her arm was cut off, lady. And now the question is, what do you do about this? How do you fix this? And that's a question we're facing all over America. I mean, this is a horrific crime here. And you folks are weighing in on the on Facebook here. Virginia says they're not kids, Todd. They're savages. Others say, I'm sure that Judge Jackson would have let them out. And I have no doubt about that, because if they're treated as juveniles, they're going to be out on the street in a couple of years. So what do you do? How do you... How do you get justice? 844-747-8868. I have a thought about this. I'll share with you after the break here. But this is outrageous. We've got to get a handle on this crime. I am tired of not being able to go outside and just enjoy myself and not have to worry about getting mugged or beat over the back of the head with a baseball bat. And I guarantee you, many of you in this audience feel the same way. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Our world has certainly changed. Everything is online today. With all the convenience the internet has to offer, our world is more electronic than ever. You may have security systems in place for real life, but what about your online life? Identity Guard can sound the alarm if your digital presence is at risk. Here's a scary stat. Every 7 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or identity theft. 23% of those people never get their money back. And if you think it could never happen to you, think again. Identity Guard can help. They provide advanced monitoring to keep your online accounts, finances, and personal information safe. If a threat is found, you'll get alerted fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. For a limited time, Identity Guard is offering our listeners a 30-day free trial when you visit identityguard.com/Todd. Go to identitycard.com/Todd to get complete protection, huge savings, and a 30-day free trial. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
All right, so one of the carjackers, 17 years old. Another is 16 years old, boys and girls, by the way. And then you've got two 15-year-old girls. So one 17-year-old boy and the other, a 16-year-old girl and two 15-year-old girls were arrested. Now, this is interesting. At least one of the parents turned their kid in. And you know, God bless that parent, and it's a horrible thing. They said they found the boy with one of the 16-year-old, with the 16-year-old girl, and another one is still on the lam. Veronica says on our Facebook live stream, Todd, I believe in immediate execution. No bail, do not pass go, do not collect $200, don't blame the parents, they were teenagers and should know right from wrong. This belongs to the kids. They should be in solitary confinement with no TV, cell phones, or visitations. They don't deserve a thing. Becky writes in, Todd, our laws need to go back to being strict. No more lenient sentences. No deals. No more lenient judges. It's ruined our country. We are now just breeding grounds for drug lords and convicts. That's a good point. Phyllis writes in, Todd, these four teenagers need to be told about Jesus, but they need to pay for their crime, either life in prison without parole or execution. If this was white on black, we'd never hear the end of it. And that is true. That is true. If you watched cable news this morning, if you watched Good Morning America or the Today Show or whatever that garbage CBS has on their morning show, did they cover this story? Did they lead with the story of a white woman being dragged to death through the streets of New Orleans? And I don't like talking about race, but the left makes everything about race, so we've got to talk about it in that context. But I'm curious, do the folks on our Facebook page have a point here? I mean, there will be people who will say, but they're just kids. They're children. They don't know better, Todd. They need counseling. They need therapy. They need a hug, Todd. Really? You think, is that what we need to do here? Or maybe it is time to impose some serious repercussions. You take somebody's life, you sacrifice your own. I mean, seriously. At this point, these kids are going to be out by the time they turn 18 years old. Or maybe, just maybe, we need to have the death penalty on the table in this case. Maybe that'll send a message. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. Hey, ToddStearns.com, our website. We've got all sorts of stories up on the page. You're going to want to see them. We'll be right back, America.
Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com.
All right, hello, people. I don't know. I'm just in a mood today. Not really sure why, but I'm sort of fired up over all of this. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we do want to say a word of prayer today for our friends in Texas, Central Texas, friends in Alabama, and I know you folks in Pascagoula dodged the bullet there. But these tornadoes, there was actually a cruise ship on the Mississippi River, and the tornado. On the video, we've got it on our website. The tornado literally sweeps across the Mississippi River. I haven't seen anything like it. And I am so glad that Miss Janice, who's one of our regulars here on the program, I'm so glad you called in. Miss Janice, it had to have been a crazy night there in the Big Easy.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, you know, the wind picked up here in the afternoon and we had some rain. So by my house, thank Jesus, it wasn't bad. But in parts of the city, yeah, New Orleans East, that's a whole separate area from where I live, they had the big tornado. And then that was New Orleans East. And then in Araby, there's a section of Louisiana, it's called Araby. My aunt and uncle used to live out there in Araby years ago. And so tornado hit Araby, and then another tornado hit in New Orleans East.
Just terrible. Just
and
terrible.
I'm telling you, the devastation. Looking, I mean, they had a house, Todd. They showed on TV where there was a house. Only thing, it wasn't there anymore. It was It was nothing but just, you saw some rubble, and there was nothing. It was horrible to see. Oh, my God.
Well,
it just had me so very upset. And then I saw it, too, how in Texas, yeah, people were in a Walmart. And everything, and the cars out in the parking lot were being thrown around. I mean, this is horrible.
Janice, we have that video of the Walmart, and God bless those Walmart workers who were literally, they were screaming at people to get inside. They were putting their own lives in jeopardy, trying to get people inside. I mean, it was just, you hate for horrible things like this to happen, but at the same time, when they do, you really do see the good side of and the good deeds that people do. And look, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and this is what we do. We help people. Miss Janice, I know you want to weigh in on this carjacking. This is, when I read this story last night, it slammed me upside the head.
Well, the driver, in my estimation, would get the death penalty. And then the other people who were participants and in on it, I don't know, I might give them life in jail. I'd have to see what I'd give them, what I'd do with them. But the person that actually did the drive and drugged the woman, I don't care if that was the male or the female. I don't care what the age is. Now this is what I do about the age, though. I mean, this is how I look at it. My cousin sees it different. If you're 15, if you're 14, if you're 13, okay, you get your time in court there. If you're found guilty, I'd give you the death penalty. But to me, though, I disagree with my cousin. I just, as much as, you know, I'd want the person to get the death penalty, if you do something like that, you murder somebody, and you're old enough to know what you're doing. If I'm 15 and I kill you, don't tell me I don't know that I'm doing wrong. But I would put you in jail, is what I'd do. and I'd feed you, and I'd give you a night pillow, maybe, and I'd keep you till you, or whatever the legal age is that says you're an adult, whether that's 18 or 19, 20, or whatever the legal age is. I think it's 18. Then, I mean, your punishment would be the death penalty. I just wouldn't do it, you know, when you're 13. This weekend, in fact, I think it's this coming Saturday, they're going to have on 48 Hours on CBS, they're going to show where a 28 years ago, a 13-year-old boy, because he was being bullied in school, killed a three- or four-year-old child. Now, the three- or four-year-old was not bullying him, but he took it out on this poor, innocent child, and he got, I think he was supposed to get life in jail or something, but he got 28 years. They let him out now. He's out. He's a free person.
And that's my concern here, Miss Janice. Look, these are very bad people who did this. I don't care how old they are. They know right from wrong.
Absolutely.
They know it. And the other part of this happened Monday. Why weren't the kids in school? I mean, they should have been in school. This was in 1:30 in the afternoon.
Should have been in school.
So I appreciate the one mom that turned in her kid. I mean, I hate it. It's heartbreaking for the parents. But the reality is these people did something that was responsible for the taking of a life, and they've got to pay for that.
I'd do it if I had children and I raised my kids properly, but something went haywire. Oh, you bet I'd do it in a heartbeat. I believe in right and wrong, and there is no way in hell that I would try to cover for my child like that Petito, like his parents, not Petito's parents, but what's her name? Laundrie's parents, they're trying to cover for their son after he killed that girl and everything. No, there's something wrong with people to do that. And if I had a child, I'm childless, but if I had a child, believe me, in my home, there would have been rules to follow.
I guarantee you would have raised a fine, upstanding citizen. You would have put the fear of God in them. Yes, absolutely.
I would have done the best I could. Let's put it that way.
Miss Janice, we've got to run. I'm glad you're okay, though. And I know a lot of people down there just they lost everything. They just lost everything. But I did, I did think about Grace when I heard the story, the carjacking, and I thought, oh my gosh, I hope, you think about Miss Janice. I mean, we know her.
Sure, exactly. She's like a friend.
She's a friend, a part of the radio family here. And we have our disagreements and squabbles on the air. But, we all love and care for each other.
Just like a traditional family.
That's it. It is. Dysfunctional, but yes, it is. All right, 844-747-8868. I'm with Miss Janice. I think a lot of you would turn your kids in. I mean, if they did something like this. But we got to get a handle on this. We got to get kids back into church. Folks, I'm telling you, if the answer to all of the problems, the solutions can be found in the church house. Got to get back to church. Have you heard about Home Depot? Grace Baker, this story just blows me away. So Home Depot, they've got one of their stores up in Canada, and there's somebody in the break room, and they've noticed that Home Depot has posted these flyers about white privilege.
Yeah, I saw this last night, and I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to have to go somewhere else to get my power tool.
So Home Depot wants to fix all of you white people and all of you Christian people. And according to the flyer that they posted in the lunchroom, they want to fix and they want to right cultural wrongs in America. So, Grace, if you are confident, you have beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know that the police officers are there to protect you and not to shoot you, you have white privilege.
Man, that's just sad.
So what Home Depot is saying is, hey, look, the cops actually want to shoot you. That's why that's why they go through all the training. They put the uniform on because they want to go out there and shoot as many minorities as they can.
Yep.
I mean, that's what Home Depot wants you to believe. But it's not just the white. I've got it. And this, I do appreciate this one thing, ladies and gentlemen. And because I've always wondered this. Some people say, well, wait a second. Let's talk about white privilege. I'm working two jobs. I live in a rental. I'm driving a 10-year-old car. And I've got to eat the off-brand peanut butter down at the Piggly Wiggly. How do I have white privilege? And so Home Depot says, well, white privilege does not mean your life has not been hard. It simply means the color of your skin is not one of the reasons that makes it harder. So it's shocking, shocking. Also, Home Depot says white privilege is not the only issue here. They are addressing cisgender privilege. That's you people out there who know your pronouns. Yeah, that's you. And if you get off for Christmas Day, if you get the day off, Home Depot says you have Christian privilege. Quote, if you can use the bathroom without people staring or being fearful or anxious, you have cisgender privilege. In other words, you're a very bad person if you have a problem with your little girl using the bathroom alongside a grown man wearing a dress and high heels inside the Home Depot. They also called out able-bodied privilege and heterosexual privilege. If you don't have to explain that your spouse is of the same gender, you have heterosexual privilege, Home Depot says. So I'm curious here. Are you buying what Home Depot is selling? And it seems to me the only way to teach these people a lesson is for all of you white, heterosexual, able-bodied Christian fixer-uppers who have privilege to buy your power tools someplace else. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Richard in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Richard wants to weigh in on this New Orleans story. Hey, Richard, what's up?
Well, good morning, Todd. As I was telling Grace, I'm in Cordova now. I came here right after Hurricane Katrina, so I am from New Orleans. I spent 61 years there before Katrina came to pay us a visit. I've noticed that since then through today, the city has, if you do a bell curve, it's definitely on the right-hand side of that curve going down towards zero. But as far as these kids, that I don't have a word to describe what they did to her. It's the lowest level of inhumanity I can imagine, and I don't care what their ages are. All of them got lined up against the wall, one bullet, one squeeze, end of problem. And I hate to say that because that goes back to a bunch of very nasty times in our history that existed before now. But I would not let these people breathe another liter of air. And that would be it. Age is irrelevant. Deeds are relevant. Participation, even if it's not a willing participation, you acted in it, you took part in it, you didn't rebel against it, you die. For me, it's real simple. And I'm very glad to hear that Ms. Janice, with whom I have an occasional disagreement when she says stuff, I'm very glad to hear that she is doing well and she wasn't affected by the tornadoes. And unfortunately, I know the areas that were struck by the tornadoes.
And they're the areas that cannot afford to get struck by tornadoes. Sad. Richard, we've got to leave it there. We appreciate you calling in, and we do love Miss Janice and all of our listeners, whether we agree or disagree, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican, doesn't matter. We're all good friends here on this program. Real quick, let's go to Bobby in South Carolina on the live stream. All right, Bobby, what's going on?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. In regards to the situation and what happened to the woman, the kids are being protected by the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which Clinton signed. We did not ratify, but through the Roper v. Simmons, Miller v. Alabama, and Graham v. Florida Supreme Court cases, they de facto ratified it. You cannot punish these teenage criminals with the death penalty or even life in prison. The UN treaty that our judges have ratified through the court decisions is the problem.
C- Can I just say, Bobby, I really don't give a rat's behind what the United Nations says. I really don't. And you know what? If they got a problem with that, they can go and they can go take their big tower in New York City to some other country, because I'm sick of it. And we've got to take care of our own people. And it's not right that a 73-year-old grandma got dragged through the streets of an American city.
Agree. It's just, why did our judges in the Supreme Court say that we have to follow this UN treaty we did not ratify?
Because they're idiots.
They are being coddled, because I have a friend who was raped 30 years ago by a 13-year-old. He was then given 30 years in prison. Then he raped the second woman at 16. He got life without parole, but they struck down the life sentence for that exact reason, the UN treaty.
Bobby, we got to leave it there. We're late for a break. God bless you. Hang tight, folks. 844-747-8868.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Well, our good friend Mike Lindell is back at it again. Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. Mike Lindell not only created the best pillow, but now he's created the best towel in the world. That's right. Mike Lindell found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft but actually work. And they're all made with USA cotton. They come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Get this, folks. You're going to get a 6-piece set, 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths, made with USA cotton, soft yet absorbent. Normally $109.99, now just $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 for these great radio specials. That's 800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS. All right, coming up next, our good friend Trish Regan will join us. Also, Abraham Hamilton from American Family Association, he's going to weigh in on the Supreme Court confirmation hearings. And Joy Pullman from The Federalist, she's going to drop by, has some things to say about Joe Biden and the New York Times. It is an intriguing story. But I want to get right to the phones here. Connor, our good friend in Boston. Connor, good to have you with us today.
Todd Starnes, it is great to be with you today, and it's also equally great to be listening on the Mighty 990 app. I mean, I love this thing. It's so great.
I'm glad to hear that.
You know, it's like being up here, it's just like your escape from liberalism up here, so it's phenomenal. But I'm going to jump right into it. When it comes to what Janice just said on air regarding this jacking and this issue down in New Orleans, I have a disagreement about capital punishment for minors. I don't think that we should be executing our young children for crimes that they committed when they were not of a developed mind. I think that there are other, like life in prison, mental institutions, something like that, to really kind of address the problem. If it's somebody who's of legal age, if it's somebody who's an adult with a developed brain, I have absolutely zero issue with strapping them to an electric chair, doing a firing squad, lethal injection, you name it, whatever gets them out of this world and delivers them to hell's doorstep quicker is what I'm all for. But for children, I just don't think that that's the most effective way to solve a problem such as this one.
So Connor, the question for me would be, okay, where do you draw that line? I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old, and I'm thinking back to 15-year-old Todd. I knew that it was wrong to steal somebody's car, and I knew it was wrong to kill somebody. I have to imagine that most 15-year-olds would be able to tell right from wrong.
And I understand that too, but then if you fast forward to like maybe when the 25-year-old version of yourself, right? It's like you might look back at that decision, and it might just be unbelievable to you once you have that full comprehension, that full developed mind. And I don't think that this should ever be something where, you know, this goes away. This should be ever something you should forget. But I think at the same time, too, a lethal injection or killing somebody or executing, it's just not the right way to go.
Yeah, well, Connor, we got to leave it on that note. I just don't want these people out because, you know, they're going to kill again. I mean, whoever raised, this is a horrible situation. But these are not humans. This is savage behavior right here. This is not how humans behave. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Trish Regan coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program, hour two of the big show. So I've got to play this audio from yesterday's Supreme Court hearing. It went into the evening hours. Our good friend Senator Marsha Blackburn, she's going to be on the show later this week. Also, Herschel Walker is going to drop by, as well as David Perdue. And if you are anywhere in Georgia or the Carolinas, I hope you come out Saturday to the big Trump rally. I'll be speaking during the pre-show, and we'll be doing analysis before and after on Newsmax TV. So we hope you check all of that out, and we have the info over on the website. So Marsha Blackburn was asking Judge Brown Jackson to define what it means to be a woman. Cut number two.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law and I decide.
Well,
so I'm not.
The fact that you can't give me a straight answer about something as fundamental as what a woman is underscores the dangers of the kind of progressive education that we are hearing about. Just last week, an entire generation of young girls watched as our taxpayer-funded institutions permitted a biological man to compete and beat a biological woman in the NCAA swimming championships. What message do you think this sends to girls who aspire to compete and win in sports at the highest levels?
Senator, I'm not sure what message that sends. If you're asking me about the legal issues related to it, those are topics that are being hotly discussed, as you say, and could come to the court.
Wow. Joe Biden picked a real winner right there, folks. A real winner. We're going to play more from the hearings a little bit later on. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the proprietor of TrishIntel.com and a great American patriot, Trish Regan. Trish, good to have you back with us.
Oh, so good to be here with you, Todd. And wow, that is good for Senator Blackburn. That's what I have to say. Good for her. Women need to stick together on this right now because this is just insane, utterly insane.
You know, it's and the reality is this will go before the courts. I mean, that's where all of this is going. And whether it's the transgender community filing a lawsuit or one of these biological females who misses out on a scholarship opportunity or some other opportunity, this is going to be something that the judges are going to have to be discussing.
It was a fair question for sure. And the fact that it's even a question, the fact that we're even talking about this, how insane is it? I mean, look, you know what? Okay, we don't need to go near that. You know, you feel like a woman, you want to dress like a woman. Okay, whatever. The problem is when you start saying, okay, I am going to compete against women who were born as women, it sends it into a whole nother sphere, keeping in mind, of course, that, I'm sorry, this is biology, this is science, right? Women have different muscle development because of the lack of testosterone. And so, you know, if you transition, quote-unquote transition, later in life from a guy to a gal, you already have years of having built up certain muscular ability that's going to make it very, very difficult for women to win in athletic competitions against you. It's just not fair. And, you know, I don't know what the answer is. Maybe, you know, they get their own lane, right? Like, you know, Leah Thomas can swim against other people like Leah Thomas, but let's not shut out our girls, our women that were biologically born as women, and not allow them to compete on an even playing field. My gosh.
It's mind-blowing, and I'm glad that people are, and it's impacting a lot of people in the Ivy Leagues, and by and large, there are a lot of liberals in the Ivy Leagues, so I'm glad that they're experiencing this, so because even they understand, hey, something is not right here. So maybe, just maybe, there's going to be some common ground found between liberals and conservatives, and we'll get something done. I don't know.
You're so spot on. In fact, I think this actually, it's common ground, but it's also going to really make things difficult for the left as we go into 2022 and certainly in 2024, because this is so divorced from reality. My parents are very liberal, and I grew up in a very liberal household. It's gone too far for them. You know, even they're like, what the heck? I mean, I think everybody is just looking at this as sort of a normal person. And regardless of whether, you know, you believe in big government or small government, you don't think that this is right. I think it just strikes a chord with a lot of people. And this is what you're seeing this is what happened in Virginia, right? And it wasn't this case exactly, but it was in terms of the CRT teaching. Everything is going too far. They are pushing it too far. And the Democratic Party is foolish for allowing that, because it's going to basically, it's good for conservatives, cause them a whole bunch of seats, Todd. So yes, common ground, but also people being voted out of office, because this is not the direction Americans want to go in.
And here's what gets me. I'm not sure why we're even having this confirmation hearing. I mean, it's a waste of our tax money. And I appreciate we're getting her on the record on some of her policies and some of her ideologies. But the reality is, all Joe Biden wanted here was a black woman. That's it. Qualifications be damned. He just wanted a black person who is a woman. So unless there's a controversy about her pronouns, I'm not quite sure why we're going through all of this.
Yeah, a woman. Right?
That's it.
Pronouns. It's kind of funny. That's kind of, you know, in light of everything right now. Look, I think that's true, Todd. And, you know, it's really not right. It takes a lot away from the position in general, because I think it's nice to be, you know, that should be sort of the asterisk, right? It shouldn't be like the thing that you lead with. It should be, let's find the most qualified person. If she happens to be African-American, if she happens to be a woman, like, that's great, but let's get the most qualified person. One of my friends who's an Asian woman said, well, what the heck? Like, they've never put an Asian woman on the court. Maybe we need an Asian. Like, but she was sort of making fun of it. She's a conservative herself. And she's like, this is nuts. It is nuts. When we can't look at people for who they are, you know, within, you know, but you have to go through only the prism of race or sex, that's where it gets problematic, Todd.
Trish Regan on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Check out her great website, TrishIntel.com. Trish, President Biden now on his way to Poland. This reportedly is to undo the damage that Kamala Harris did during her visit. Meanwhile, yet more staffers are leaving her office. What do you make of what's happening in the administration right now?
Well, in terms of Kamala Harris, I think that she's probably just in so far over her head. I don't think she's especially much of an intellect. Don't forget, she failed the bar first time around. Not much of an intellect and not much of a leader. And so that's certainly coming out in spades, I think, right now. She's failed to perform in some of these basic things, like just going to the border, given that the border was her job. She finally got to go to Europe and apparently blew that one. So it's too bad, but when you put somebody who's not really qualified for the job or doesn't have the right intellectual chops or the right management leadership skills, this is what you get. And so I don't know if he's doing cleanup or if he's trying to look. We've got ourselves now in a pretty challenging spot. And I think that we have to be doing everything that we can. This is how I believe this firmly, to be on the side of freedom and be on the side of the country that we promised we would stand up for back years ago when they gave up their nuclear weapons. And we said we'd be there for them. And that's our word, and we should stand by our word. So whatever has to happen needs to happen, and soon, rather than later, because this is something that we just really can't afford to lose.
No, we you're right. You're absolutely right about that. Trish, real quick, before we have to let you go, I mean, you're the expert on the economy here. Bloomberg says, hey, look, suck it up, buttercup. Stop eating meat, eat lentils, and start walking more instead of using your car. I mean, there is such a disconnect between the media and the rest of the country.
You know, and I used to work at Bloomberg, and they called it the Billionaires Network back then because only billionaires watched us. We had a very small audience, just filled with billionaires. And so I think that the problem with some of the journalists at Bloomberg, and I don't include myself in this group at all. I think I was always like kind of, one eyebrow raised. But a lot of the journalists are thinking in terms of, the elites, and that's a real problem. It's a problem in journalism overall, right? People are so not grounded and not dealing in reality. And so that was a real tone-deaf article that you're referring to where one of their writers said, here's the answer. It's not the answer. People shouldn't have to sacrifice like that. I mean, they're talking about giving up your dog, letting your cat or your dog die rather than be able to afford treatment for them. I mean, this is kind of morbid stuff. And I don't think that Americans should have to suck it up. I think Americans should expect that their government should be able to deliver on decent energy, especially when we have tons of it right here, decently priced energy. We've got tons of it. There's no excuse for this. They should have been way out ahead of us. Our intel predicted that Putin would be doing this. So why weren't we negotiating deals and encouraging companies to drill in America months before this all happened? That's the real tragedy here, that no one was really looking with any kind of foresight. Americans should not have to pay more at the gas pump. They should be able to trust that their government guards against inflation, and this government has entirely failed that. It's really horrendous.
No, you're right about that. Trish, we're going to have to leave it there. Good hearing from you. TrishIntel.com podcast doing well?
Podcast is doing great. I'd love people to come, and your podcast as well. Mine is The Trish Regan Show on Apple iTunes, on Spotify, also on Rumble and YouTube. And I know you've got the Toddcast. I see it always because I listen a ton, and it's in my feed from Apple. So
love it.
That's doing well on your end, too.
Love it.
Podcasting's a lot of fun.
Trish, always good hearing from you.
Good talking to you, Todd.
Trish Regan, everybody. TrishIntel.com, great website. And let me tell you, there's nobody smarter when it comes to what happens on Wall Street. So you got to check out her stuff. She's got great, great inside information on what's happening and really brings it down to a level that, someone like me can understand. So she just does a wonderful job at that. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Again, that is a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Oh, I've got to tell you about our great friends over at Newsmax. I mean, everybody I know is watching Newsmax these days. As a matter of fact, I'll be on Newsmax this weekend. But right now, everybody is talking about the Ukraine and Russia war. Is America doing enough to help Ukraine in this dangerous moment for freedom? Well, Newsmax TV is covering the war around the clock. They have top correspondents, boots on the ground, and they really are your source for news and information. By the way, Newsmax is conducting an urgent national poll. They want to know if you support a no-fly zone and if you approve of Joe Biden's handling of the crisis. And if you want to participate, just text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747, and they will send you the poll right away. By the way, Newsmax, if you haven't downloaded the app, you got to do that. That's how I watch Newsmax on the go. You're going to love it. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Todd Starnes. We'll be right back.
You know, Easter is just around the corner, and I can't think of a better Easter present. Well, maybe a chocolate bunny. But aside from the chocolate bunny, how about a copy of my brand new book, Our Daily Biscuit Devotions with a Drawl? It makes a great Easter gift and a terrific Mother's Day present. And we are encouraging you, because we're getting a lot of orders in. If you want me to personally autograph, and I do that, so we don't have somebody, it's me, I sign the books. Grace Baker can testify to this, because she's always yelling at me, Todd, you got to sign the books. Got to sign the books, Todd. Yee-hoo! So
I do not sound like that, firstly. Secondly, what can I say? You're a popular person. Got a lot of books to sign.
And I'm a procrastinator.
Yeah, that too.
And it's hard for me to. It's still hard for me to see. So I'm, you know, I'm sometimes I autograph the desk instead of the book.
I'm sorry if you get bad. A little bit of a scribble.
That's true. That is a fair point.
Apologizing in advance.
ToddStearns.com. And if you want to order a signed copy, you can do it there. And just click on the store, and there you go. Or you can order it over at Amazon. It's actually a few dollars cheaper, but you don't get the autograph. So we encourage you, get those in now so we can get those to you in time for Easter and for Mother's Day. All right, let's go to the phones here. Rhode Island, our good friend Carlotta. Hey, Carlotta, what's going on?
Well, I'm thinking, Todd, you know, if any of the Republican senators would have the, I don't know, the guts, let's call it, to do this, have two children, maybe a little white girl, a little black girl, call them as witnesses to the hearing, show them some pictures, pictures of men, pictures of women, and then just ask the children to separate them into a group of men, a group of women. The children separate them, and that's it. Point made.
Brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy, Carlotta.
That's it. You know, nobody's insulted. We're just showing that sometimes your common sense is educated out of you.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I mean, we are born with God-given knowledge as to who we are. And for society to come, and that's what's happening. They're re-engineering these kids, and there's a word for that, and they call it brainwashing. And that's what's happening in our public schools right now, Carlotta.
Well, and then if someone would want to take it a step further, although this really would not be the thing to do to children, but maybe a reporter could ask one of the little girls later, maybe the black girl, well, you know, you're a little black girl and you're female. Would you like to be a Supreme Court justice?
There you go. Carlotta, appreciate the call. Let's go to James, Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. James, got about a minute here.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for the book. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
I just donated it to my sister. I got it last week. She went through surgery for cancer, and I feel like she needed it more than I did at this time.
Well, I hope she enjoys that, and I hope here's hoping for a speedy recovery.
Well, thank you, sir. On the judge, the questions they were asking her about a definition of a woman, we kind of got to get ourselves on the level as the same as the leftists. The question they should have asked is, what do you have when you put a pig in a dress? You still have a pig.
That is a fair point. Well, I mean, who are we to say that a pig is a pig or a cow is a cow? I mean, what if the cow identifies as a pig? I get your point here. The reality is, God made us male or female. All right? That's how he made us. And the problem is that man wants to play God now. That's at the root of what's going on. James, I wish we could talk more. We're going to pray for your sister. Hope she gets to feeling better and hope she enjoys that book. Folks, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I just realized something. This is not going to be a quick trip to Georgia. over the weekend.
Oh, no, why?
So I was thinking, well, you know what, we will, because I have to be there by like 2 o'clock at the Trump rally.
Makes sense.
And, you know, go through the Secret Service checkpoints, and then you spend some time with the president, and then you get up on the stage.
Just a casual afternoon.
Just a casual, just, you know, hanging with the Prez and the Secret Service guys, and then come back. So, but it's a 7-hour drive from Memphis to Commerce, Georgia, and then, of course, 7 hours back. So this is not going to be a one-day event. So anyway, I'm looking for some good, a great hotel to stay at between here and there.
Having any luck?
No, so far. That's what I was doing. You guys almost caught me not behind the microphone because I was doing some Google searches. So if any of our Georgia friends, and we have a ton of friends in Georgia, if y'all can recommend a cool, I like to stay at these boutique hotels.
That's my favorite.
Right? You know, I'm a normal Hampton. I like the Hampton Inn because you get the free breakfast.
Sure.
You don't get that if you're staying at the Waldorf Astoria.
True.
So, or Hilton Garden Inn is a great, but I'm kind of looking for a fun, you know, quirky. So if you guys have any suggestions, give us a call, 844-747-8868. Hey, I want to play some audio here. This is Senator Marsha Blackburn. You know what I just realized, Grace? I forgot that we were going to play audio coming back, so I've just completely screwed up this segment.
It's okay. It's Wednesday.
It happens. It's hump day. It happens. All right, this is Senator Marsha Blackburn asking Judge Brown Jackson about males and females.
Do you agree with Justice Ginsburg that there are physical differences between men and women that are enduring?
Senator, respectfully, I am not familiar with that particular quote or case, so it's hard for me to comment as to whether.
All right. I'd love to get your opinion on that, and you can submit that. Do you interpret Justice Ginsburg's meaning of men and women as male and female?
Again, because I don't know the case, I don't know how I interpret it. I need to read the whole thing.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here at our beautiful Liberty University studios. Our good friend from American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III. Abe, good to have you back with us.
Good to be back with you, Todd.
Wow.
Chuckling over that audio.
Wow. I mean, what? These seems like pretty simple, you know, first grade questions here.
Yeah, it definitely does. And if I remember correctly, she went on to say she couldn't answer that question because she's not a biologist. I was like, so I'm just completely confused by this question. So is she admitting tacitly that the definition of a woman and a man is something that's inherent in biology? Is she admitting that? And then she goes on in the same hearing to eventually say that it's historical and that she's the first black woman. So I'm saying, wait a minute. So do you know what a woman is or don't you? And it's entirely ludicrous. And obviously, I understand the cultural moment that we're in, and it's become a faux pas if you actually identify a woman, you know, with something close to biology. But it's just utterly ridiculous that we have someone who is nominated for the highest court in the land for a lifetime appointment. It's something as fundamentally basic as what is a woman. She waxes ignorant or reluctant, whatever option you choose. They both are embarrassingly insufficient for someone to be considered with such a high position.
And what really struck me about Blackburn's line of questioning with Ruth Bader Ginsburg, now say what you will about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her policies, which I suspect you and I both vehemently disagree with, she was a very effective jurist, but she was also a very effective attorney for the feminist movement, which is why she was she got nominated to the Supreme Court in the first place, Abe. And now the transgender movement is literally unraveling all that RBG worked so hard for.
Yeah, and it's remarkable to see how many people who historically have been vehemently committed to the feminist movement and the feminist agenda to become mute in light of things like Will Thomas. And when I say Will Thomas, most people say, who? I say, yeah, exactly. That's the point. Nobody knows who Will Thomas is, but lots of people know who Leah Thomas is. Well, you can go from, I don't know, 493rd in swimming to now you're dominating women's swimming races by doing one thing, by declaring yourself to be a woman. Well, historically, people, and especially like those like the ACLU and others, would go to the mat to fight for the rights of women. I mean, Title IX exists for the very definition that Judge Brown Jackson refused to provide us with during her testimony. But now those things are being eviscerated in the name of trans insanity. And so because of the cultural moment that we're in, we have people who were formerly committed to fighting for the rights of women. They are now committed equally to eviscerating women. We're going to have sports reduced to nothing but men's sports and co-ed sports. In fact, effectively eliminating the category that we have for women and girls.
And I know the nighttime comedy shows, morning Joe folks over at MSDNC, they've been laughing at Blackburn, mocking her. But Abe, it seems to me that this is going to end up at the Supreme Court. Lawsuits are going to be filed either by biological women or transgender women. So I think it's a pretty legitimate question to be asking at this stage in our culture.
It absolutely is a legitimate question. I mean, we just had the Bostic decision where, unfortunately, the Neil Gorsuch penned the opinion where the entire debate was what does the word sex mean in the civil rights statutes in Congress. And so the question is a legitimate question that has significant impact for a Supreme Court nominee's view of the Constitution, its interpretation, and its application to real cases and controversies that would likely arise before the Supreme Court.
Abraham Hamilton III is general counsel and public policy analyst at American Family Association. Abe, a line of questioning came from Ted Cruz. I'm not going to play this audio, but it was a long back and forth between Senator Cruz and Judge Brown Jackson over CRT. She serves on the board of a school that is that's using CRT in the curriculum, and she would not actually acknowledge that she knew that was happening.
Which, again, is unsurprising. It is something that I found to be a consistent go-to for those who are proponents of CRT. They wax ignorant as to what's actually happening. Well, is CRT actually being taught in schools? Can you define it? When the reality is, it is being taught. Critical pedagogy is being taught. Not the entire treatise. I mean, it's not the entire treatise that is CRT, but some of the main tenets. Fundamentally, those that would cause the students to begin to despise the United States of America, those that would view people in oppressed and oppressor categories, those that would view people not only in those categories, but irreversibly as members of those categories, regardless of what they would do. Those things are being conveyed. These are tenets of critical pedagogy. These are tenets of critical race theory. And again, to have Judge Brown Jackson to act as if she is unaware that this is happening, it's very similar to her reluctance to acknowledge that she actually has a judicial philosophy. She tried to say, well, I have more of a methodology, not necessarily a judicial philosophy. And I was like, man, don't TTO my head and tell me it's raining. If you have a judicial methodology, it's going to flow from your judicial philosophy. And once again, her evasiveness on some of these pertinent issues show, one, that she's been very, 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 very well coached to avoid some of the most tenuous components of her worldview and her makeup. And secondarily, it shows that there are many that are willing to give her cover just in an effort to get her onto the bench as unscathed as possible.
And for that, I do appreciate and respect the Republicans because they have been going down a very careful path here. At the same time, they're still being accused of being racist, and I'll ask you about that in just a moment. But to her point, there was an argument made, well, when she was defending the terrorists at Gitmo, she was just, you know, giving them good counsel under the Constitution. But that's not the full story. She was actually representing them when she was in private practice. So she did not have to do that. She wanted to do that. And then you talk about the hundreds and hundreds of these pornographic images showing child predators. And she was advocating for lesser sentences. What does that tell you about Judge Brown Jackson? What do we need to know there?
Yeah, and I'll answer your question directly first. It tells me that she, similar to her record as a judge on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals and as a trial judge in D.C., that she adheres to a regressive approach to the Constitution across the board. And when you have those, even some on the right who suggest that questions about her sentencing in child porn cases was demagoguery, I vehemently object to that. It goes directly to her judicial philosophy. We as American people, including the U.S. senators, we need to know what she believes. What does she think about the Constitution? Does she view it as a living and breathing instrument that's subject to modern interpretation and amendment on the fly, regardless of the constitutional process laid out to do so? Or does she view it as a document that includes words that have meaning, and the meaning should be applied based on the original intent of the authors at the time that they wrote it? We need to know that. And so it's not an out-of-bounds line of questioning. It's a legitimate line of questioning, and it actually cuts right to the core of what the purpose is for these confirmation hearings in the first place.
And actually, Abe, I mean, the reality is you've got the Democrats saying anyone who dares question the judge, anybody who is a white man or even a white woman who questions the judge is guilty of racism, and Republicans are racist is actually trending on social media right now. It's a brilliant strategy the Democrats are putting forward, but it's pretty disgusting.
It is pretty disgusting, and it actually it murkies the waters for genuine instances of people that suffer from skin color based partiality. When everything is described as racist, that makes nothing racist. And so when you have people that literally or legitimately incur circumstances where the sinfulness of racism is present, those instances are going to be looked at with a jaundiced eye, because you have situations like this when you have a legitimate question posed to a judicial nominee for the highest court in the land, but those questions aren't being described as racist simply because they're being asked. That shows the disingenuous nature of the people that are using the racism term to shut up their opponents, and it also shows the tenuous nature of debate and dialogue in our country, to where there's no longer a desire to say, hey, I may disagree with you, but I will defend your right to say it. Now there's the cultural Marxist approach to where if you don't have the proper opinion, then you are not to be admitted into the public square.
Well said. Well said. Abe, always good hearing from you. And where can folks go if they want to get information on your great show and all the great things you're doing?
You can go to AFR.net for American Family Radio, where you can download the podcast of my show. It airs Monday through Friday on the American Family Radio Network at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can check out our podcast. You can check out our YouTube channels. You can also sign up for the AFA streaming, where you can live stream my show, as well as the entire catalog of American Family Studios and American Family Association offerings.
All right, good stuff. Abe, always good hearing from you.
All right, great to be with you again, Todd. Have a wonderful day, my man.
Abraham Hamilton III, ladies and gentlemen, general counsel, public policy analyst, a brilliant mind over at American Family Association. One of the smartest guys I know. You know, Grace, you know me, I'm all about conciliation. You know, I'm not a big flamethrower. You know, I just want people to get along. But can I just...
I see your nose growing longer as we speak.
I'm just... No. I wish I could ask a question of the judge, because mm-hmm. this question has not been asked yet. And this could probably be the most important question that needs to be asked of Judge Brown Jackson.
What is it?
Now, I want to caveat this by saying, why is it that she was nominated? Why did Biden pick her?
Because she was a black woman.
She was a black woman. No one has bothered to ask if she, in fact, identifies as black or if she identifies as a woman.
Oh, man. Yeah.
We can't assume
that.
We can't assume. No one has asked her
we
pronouns. I'm just saying.
Point.
She may self-identify. And at that point, if I were Marsha Blackburn, I would say, Judge, do you identify? What are your preferred pronouns? I would just be cordial. Judge, welcome to Capitol Hill. What are the preferred pronouns?
I think that is very nice to ask. I'm surprised, Todd.
And so, see, I told you, it's
you
all about
over a new leaf.
I'm trying to be gracious.
Oh, good.
And so once she says, well, if her pronouns are she and her, then Senator Blackburn should say, and why, you know, how do you know you're a woman?
This is a good point.
Right? I mean, they've got to be thinking like this. She could pull a Rachel Dolezal in reverse and identify as a white person.
This is true.
You never know. And you just want to be gracious. You don't want to mispronounce someone. Is that the right terminology?
Misgender.
Misgender.
Misidentify.
I don't know. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
It's the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Good to have you back with us. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. A lot of you are weighing in on this carjacking story out of New Orleans. 73-year-old grandmother. She was in her car. four, and she's a white grandma, by the way, 73-year-old white grandma, and she's in her car, really nice part of New Orleans. It's 1:30 in the afternoon, and these four thugs, teenagers, 17 years old, 16 and 15-year-olds, one guy, three girls, and they carjacked the woman, beat the living daylights out of her. They're trying to shove her out of the car. Her arm gets caught in the seatbelt, and she's literally dragged through the streets of New Orleans. Her arm is severed, and the woman dies in her own blood in the middle of the road. A lot of people very upset about this, and weighing in on the Facebook page. One guy says, "Todd, savages. Watch them get released on low bail." I hope that's not the case. I really do. I hope that is not the case. But there's a good chance they will, because they're being treated as juveniles. Do you think that somebody ought to be executed? I mean, the driver is, would that be the person most culpable here? The person that could have stopped the car and could have prevented this woman from losing her life? 844-747-8868. A lot of you also weighing in on the Home Depot. And someone said, "Todd, is this the local store?" I don't think so. The documents, and you can see it for yourself on our website. We posted a copy of it. It looks to be some sort of an official document with Home Depot's graphics. So, we've reached out to Home Depot, and they're not talking. Ricky says, "This white boy won't be shopping Home Depot. And the cops should not respond if they call." That's a fair point, because they really did take a swipe at the police and their white privilege flyers. Diane says, "Todd, we need to take our children back and change the way they're being parented before stuff like this keeps happening." Talking about New Orleans, it's a fair point. Eric says, "Why in the world is Home Depot jumping into all of this grade A fertilizer?" Clean that up for you there, Eric. We're family friendly here. You know, Eric, that's a great question. Fox News has a piece up on American Express. Manhattan Institute has been doing a study, and they have found that a good many Fortune 500 companies are actually promoting critical race theory, including folks like American Express. I said Fortune 500. I meant Fortune 100 companies. And they're promoting CRT, systemic racism, white privilege. American Express is actually teaching its employees the country was fundamentally racist and that capitalism was fundamentally oppressive, and their white employees were guilty of white privilege and internalized white supremacy. Who in their right mind would want to work at American Express? Jeez, hello. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, America. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Wow, we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. Joy Pullman from The Federalist is going to drop by in just a little while. Has a very interesting column up on the New York Times and Joe Biden, and you're going to want to stick around for that conversation. Heading out this weekend, and we have the details up on our website, toddstearns.com. The president asked me to speak at his rally in Commerce, Georgia on Saturday, and we are looking forward to seeing the president again and seeing thousands and thousands of patriots who are standing up there in the Peach State. I suspect some folks from Carolina are going to swing over as well, North and South Carolina. But it's going to be a wonderful event, and we hope to see you there. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here in our beautiful Liberty University studios. And we're just so glad to have Stephen Lawson with us. Stephen is president and CEO of Battleground Strategies, one of the top political minds and top political strategists out there. And Stephen, great to have you with us today.
Todd, great to be on with you. Thanks so much for having me.
And of course, I mean, when you say all eyes are on Georgia, this is going to be it truly is a battleground state. And I know that you guys are have done some work with our good friend Herschel Walker to make sure that we send Raphael Warnock back to Atlanta.
That's absolutely right, Todd. And as you said, Georgia is the premier battleground state. It was in 2020, and it is going to be in 2022. Unfortunately, Raphael Warnock is still hanging on by a thread. But we have an outstanding candidate in Herschel Walker, a patriot, a true fighter, for the America First agenda, for President Trump, as well as for every patriot across Georgia. And fortunate enough to be doing some work for a group called 34N22, which is the super PAC supporting Herschel Walker. I like to tell people that we are providing the air support for Herschel's ground game here in Georgia. And what we're seeing is we are doing a number of things. We've got digital billboards going up around Atlanta and other parts of the state, really exposing Raphael Warnock's disastrous failed agenda. We've got digital advertisements. We've got grassroots events, press releases, newsletters, polling, you name it. Our goal is twofold, as you said, Todd. We are exposing Raphael Warnock for the far left radical that he is, someone who's voted with Joe Biden nearly 100% of the time, who's contributed to the skyrocketing gas prices, the rampant inflation, the crime that we're seeing going on in not just in Atlanta, but for your viewers around the country, the crisis at the border, the unmitigated disaster that is, the supply chain backlog on issue after issue. Raphael Warnock has been a rubber stamp for Joe Biden's failed agenda. We need a business person, a patriot, a leader in Herschel Walker who can come in on day one and unite our state, unite our party, and get this far left liberal out of Washington, D.C., and put a true patriot like Herschel Walker in office.
Stephen, I mean, it is all hands on deck here. And I think that people just took for granted that Georgia, it's always been Republican. It's always going to stay Republican. Well, that was not the case. And, you know, we can argue over what happened in the 2020 election. But the reality is we've got the midterms. We have 2024. We've got to focus on those races and make sure that every single person gets out to vote on Election Day.
That's absolutely right. And you know, unfortunately, Todd, we saw what happens when we are not mobilized, right? We saw in those Senate runoffs what happens when we are not engaged, when we're not mobilized. We have got to overwhelm the system. That's what we've got to do. And I think that's the message that you're going to hear from President Trump this weekend. Excited that you're going to be there coming down. I think it's going to be a great crowd. There is a ton of energy and momentum down here on the ground. But what we have got to be focused on doing is translating that energy, that momentum, that enthusiasm into voting, into action, into spreading the word. We've got a number of things that have happened since 2020, which I think have put our state in a good spot. We've got Senate Bill 202, which I think is not perfect, but it's a step in the right direction in terms of getting these photo identification requirements, securing these drop boxes, getting this big tech money out of our elections, ensuring that the ballots are printed on security paper. So we've done a number of good things to strengthen the system. It's up to us now to really overwhelm the system and get out and vote. Because you see, Todd, what happened in 2020 on the other side of the aisle, dark left liberal groups from California and New York poured hundreds of millions of dollars into Stacey Abrams and her radical machine. And what she was able to do with that is to mobilize her voters, to get those people back out to vote. we have got to have patriots and leaders on our side of the ticket who are willing to fight, who are willing to expose the irregularities that we saw, but also go toe-to-toe with the Abrams machine. I think we've got a slate of candidates that can do that here in Georgia. But it's time to roll up our sleeves and really hit the ground running.
And it's all hands on deck, Stephen. I mean, you talk about the impact of illegal immigration. I know Georgia is not a border state, but I know back in the 80s and 90s, places like Dalton, Georgia, the carpet capital of the world, there was a massive influx of many illegals into that area. And it has had long-lasting impacts on the economy. You've got Buckhead, Georgia, with the wanting to annex themselves and break away from the city of Atlanta simply because of the massive crime problem in a very affluent part of the state.
That's absolutely right. And you know, it is rampant. And the thing about it, Todd, is as you mentioned, it's such a trickle-down, right? There's such a trickle-down effect. When we don't have a border, it's hard to say that we really have a country anymore. And the ripple effect of that happening, not just with, you know, in places like Dalton, not just in places where we've got rampant crime in Atlanta, which is why you're seeing the response there from the citizens of Buckhead, who are standing up and saying enough is enough. If the city of Atlanta is not going to fund our police, if the city of Atlanta is not going to keep our community safe, we're going to take matters into our own hands. Whether it's that or the drug trafficking that's going on, the human trafficking, again, on issue after issue, when we don't solve the crisis at the border, it affects every aspect of our lives and our everyday lives. And that's why we've got to have conservative fighters who are going to say, we're not going to do amnesty. We're not going to do all of these other crazy things until we solve the issue at the border. Because we have families in this state who are hurting. 158 homicides last year in Atlanta alone, Todd. That is a record. We cannot allow this to continue. That's why we've got to have people in office like Herschel Walker who will fight back, who will build this President Trump's wall at the southern border, who will stop the flow of illegal immigration, stop the flow of drugs, stop the flow of human trafficking, because it is affecting every citizen in our state. And it's time that we send fighters to Washington to fix the problem.
All right. Stephen Lawson from Battleground Strategies. He's the president, CEO, a great organization, by the way, folks, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Stephen, real quick, how is Herschel going to do that? I know he's got great name recognition. It's just too bad Larry Munson's not alive to introduce him at the at the campaign events. But you and I both know, you know, here in the South, this is all about retail politics and getting over to Pools Barbecue and Ella J, Georgia, doing the events on the square in Gainesville. Is Herschel out there doing those things?
He is, despite what the mainstream media is portraying. He is out there in force on the campaign trail. And what I think what voters are seeing on the ground is that he's getting a great response. He is meeting in these small communities with voters. And getting out there and engaging the communities. Look, at the end of the day, this race is going to be about, are you better off now than you were a year ago? And I think we all know that the answer to that is no. And B, do you want somebody who is a proven leader, somebody who's a proven business leader, who's created jobs, who's been a community activist, who has led on issues, who has shown true leadership skills, whether it's his 1980 Heisman Trophy winning season, on issue after issue, Herschel has shown that he can lead. That's what we need. And we've got to stay focused on the fact that look, Herschel is going to be the nominee. So he is, in a very real sense, running a general election campaign, as he should. And he is talking to any voter because he wants to be that person that at the end of the day unites our party, and also unites our state. And I think the feedback, again, you're always going to have those detractors in the mainstream media who want to sling mud and who want to defame him. But I think he has stayed focused on the mission, which is public service, true public service, and getting this radical liberal ideology out of Washington and go back to representing the true value of hardworking Georgians. And I think that's why he's ultimately going to be successful.
Glad to hear that. And Stephen, we're going to have to leave it there. I know we've got Herschel coming on the show later this week, and I look forward to seeing both of you guys down there at the big rally.
Todd, it's going to be a great time. Look forward to seeing you, and let's stay in touch.
All right, let's do it. Stephen Lawson, everybody, from Battleground Strategies on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're going to be doing a lot more of this as we gear up for the midterm elections. There are some big battleground fights going on, and we're going to jump into those and talk about the, you know, the implications really for the rest of the country. Georgia is a must-win state for conservatives, and that's one of the reasons I'm excited to be going down there Saturday. Quite frankly, we need this to be the biggest Trump rally of all so far. So we want all you folks out there in the listening audience, and I know a lot of you folks in Gainesville listen to us on WDUN, WRWH there in the Cleveland, Georgia area. Come on over and let's send a message to the rest of the nation. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, got to give you an update on the Mo Brooks, President Trump drama. There's been some developments there. And we're also going to get to your calls. We've got Salem, Oregon, Pennsylvania on the line, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Let's get to the phones here. Randy in Cleveland, Georgia wants to weigh in. Hey, Randy, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I'm Randy, but I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay, my apologies. We have two Randys. So let's Randy in Pennsylvania, glad we've got you with us. Sorry, go ahead. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm calling about a similar incident to the lady in New Orleans that you were speaking of a while ago.
Yeah.
This one happened. He's from my hometown in Pennsylvania, and he went to Nashville to start a country music career. While he was down there, well, he went to Belmont University first, but anyway, after he graduated from Belmont, he was working on a country music career, and he went to the rear of the parking lot or a house where he was living at, and he went to get in his car, and there was four or five teenagers that were there, and they attempted to rob him, and when he would not give them the keys, they shot him.
I remember this story. I remember that. I mean, it was huge news back in the day.
Yes, it was. You know, I understand that the oldest of them, I think he was 17, got 25 years.
And that's it. Randy, this is the problem. There is no justice in a lot of these cases when you've got kids out there committing these heinous crimes. And I say, if you're man enough, if you're grown up enough to go out there and shoot and kill somebody, you're grown up enough to deal with the consequences of that.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm not sure what the younger ones got, but, you know, I agree 100%. We've got to do something about this because there's more and more kids that don't this anymore.
Right. And this is not about race. And I want people to hear me very clearly. The reason
exactly.
I said she was a white woman is because that's how the media plays these stories up. I mean, they play the race card. I say murder is murder, and you ought to get what's coming to you. And I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, purple, green, doesn't matter to me.
That's correct. In this case, they were black kids, but that doesn't really matter. They should all be treated the same.
Right. It only matters. It only matters if the attackers are white to the media. That's it. And, you know, because they play that game, and it's a pretty disgusting game. Randy, thanks for reminding us of that story. Let's go to the other Randy in Cleveland, Georgia, and wants to talk politics. Hey, Randy.
How you doing, sir?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a 64-year-old Air Force vet, and we keep up with politics like everybody else. and we love President Trump. We really support him. You know, he might be rough around the edges, but he did all the right things for this country. But we cannot support Perdue. I mean, Warnock beat this guy. And we're going to have to go with Kemp. I know that Trump is, you know, doesn't like Kemp because of what happened after January 6th, but he's done really good by Georgia. And so I'm not understanding, you know, I don't think really Perdue is going to get voted in on this one. I mean, we're going to keep a good governor in there, but, you know, Trump may not like it.
And that may be the case. There have been some big problems with these state, not, you know, these state endorsements. And President Trump earlier this morning withdrew the endorsement of Mo Brooks. And Randy, the reason why I was there when this happened, I was speaking at the Trump rally in Georgia, Coleman, Alabama. And I was right there in the front row when Mo Brooks said, we've got to move past the election scandal. And I thought that crowd was going to storm the stage. I mean, they were booing and heckling this man in his home county. So, and now Brooks is coming out and Brooks is saying that Trump is listening to McConnell. I sincerely doubt that.
I hope he's not listening to McConnell because we're not.
No, I hear you. So Randy, so you're going with Kemp because you think he's the better guy.
Right. Hey, I'm up here in Helen, Georgia. We're a German tourist town.
Beautiful.
And he's really kept this state open for you know, so that we could do business. He's done a lot of good things, kind of like DeSantis. And I'll tell you what. We're hoping for a DeSantis Jordan run for president because Trump did his job. He exposed the Democrat Party for who they are. And you know what? He'd be a great advisor, but he's got a lot of baggage now, and all they would do is attack him. And so it's time to get some fresh people in there that think like Trump but are younger and can take things from there.
All right. Randy, going to the rally on Saturday?
I'm going to try to, yes.
All right, well, be sure to holler out. So, hey, Todd! So I'll wave at you, Randy. By the way, Helen, Georgia, beautiful town. It's a great weekend getaway, little Bavarian village in the North Georgia Mountains. You guys would love it. Hey, hang tight, folks. We've got more coming up, plus your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Who are you? I'm you, from the future. What do you want? I want to tell you about Dave. Dave has your future money. Spend it on whatever you need. With extra cash from Dave, you can get up to $500 instantly with no interest and no credit check. Download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC.
All right, this just in, breaking news. We don't have a breaking news sounder. I'm sorry. We're on the cheap here, folks. You know, Rush Limbaugh had a breaking news sounder, right? Anyway, Tucker Carlson just got suspended. No, not by Fox News, by Twitter. Yeah, he got suspended from Twitter. Tucker was sharing screenshots. Actually, he was censored. I don't know if he was fully suspended. He shared screenshots of what the Babylon Bee and Charlie Kirk wrote that got them suspended from Twitter. So, folks, can I just say something? And I want you to hear me on this one issue. You have to subscribe. You've got to sign up for my daily newsletter. This is the only way to work around not only the censorship, but to at least stay engaged in our conservative community. They can't touch your emails. They can't touch our newsletter. They can't censor our newsletter. So it's horrible when these things happen. And I hate it because you lose that sense of community when people like Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn block you or ban you. So that's why we have this newsletter, and we are one of the few that we do not share our emails with anybody. So you're going to get an email from us, and that's it. And we would encourage you to go to our website, toddstarnes.com. We don't ask for all your information, just your name and your zip code and your email address, and that's it. And you'll be able to get our daily info. And we're working on some other things on our website to build community pages where you'll be able to carry on that conversation. And we're doing that because we have almost, what, 2 million, 2.1 million page views now. We got a lot of people on our website. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. We're getting to your calls in just a moment. There is a fascinating story from our good friend Joy Pullman, who is the executive editor for The Federalist. And she raises a very interesting question about the New York Times and the acknowledgement, finally, that the Hunter Biden laptop, the emails, it was all true. Did the New York Times admit Joe Biden is corrupt so Democrats can get rid of him? Well, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Joy Pullman. Hey, Joy, hope you're doing good today.
I am. Thank you.
Always love your work, Joy. And you raise a very interesting question here. What's going on?
Well, this was kind of just a little hunch that I had, you know, so I was thinking we've all seen this kind of dramatic slide in Joe Biden's polling over just his first year, which, of course, is supposed to be a new president's honeymoon. There really was no honeymoon. It's just been failure after failure after failure, some in very visible and demoralizing ways, like the Afghanistan withdrawal that resulted in the loss of American life. The indicators are so bad that, they're basically pointing toward a historic red wave in the upcoming midterms. So that really presents Democrats with a problem. And Joe Biden is the problem, right? So, you know, they managed to kind of sneak him into the presidency as this sort of like moderate figure, you know, which anyone paying attention knew that he wasn't, you know, but a lot of people don't pay attention, you know, so they kind of cast him as this moderate, antidote to the brash Donald Trump. And Americans, you know, they said he'd bring comedy back to America. And obviously none of that has happened. So basically Americans were sold a pig and a poke, and it's starting to squeal, and Americans can hear it loud and clear now. And so, you know, Democrats are, to continue the metaphor, you know, still sitting there holding the squealer and trying to figure out basically how can we get rid of this guy. So and right at that moment, the New York Times finally, you know, deigns to affirm right-wing reporting on a laptop showing, you know, that Joe Biden is likely complicit in international influence peddling, you know, with America's top foreign adversaries. How very convenient for Democrats that would happen right at this moment.
Yeah, this is, and you're right. I mean, why now? There's really no need for the New York Times to weigh in on this story. It had already been dismissed as, quote, disinformation. And it is a little puzzling, but I'm curious about the reason why they haven't already acted. And I have a hunch, and I want to run this by you. I think they know that Joe Biden, the Democrats know Joe Biden is not up to the job. But I think that they see Kamala Harris and they realize that she could actually be worse than Joe Biden. So I'm wondering if they've decided to stick with him because of her.
Right. I mean, I don't really know what, you know, other people are thinking inside their minds, but I mean, that certainly seems plausible. I mean, it really does put them in the bind that not only did they pick a really terrible president, but they also picked a really terrible vice president. And, you know, people who are Democrats, you know, there is, just like in within the Republican Party, there's a lot of unrest within the Democratic Party about basically the party's ruling elite deciding to, you know, who's playing kingmaker all the time, right? You know, so, you know, we know Joe Biden was basically anointed. It was not the people's choice, even among the Democratic Party. He was selected as a figurehead for, you know, the sort of narrative that the ruling Democratic Party elites wanted to run for that election. But, you know, if the people, the Democrats had had their way, they probably would have gone with Bernie Sanders, you know, or Elizabeth Warren, you know, some of the more farther left figures like that. But, you know, of course, they're politically challenged in a general election. So it doesn't get a lot of coverage, but this sort of internal weakness of the Democrat Party is something that, you know, really matters for your politics in your country when Democrats are the party that controls almost everything.
You know, I wrote a book back in 2019, and you mentioned Bernie Sanders, and it jogged my memory. That election, you know, the Democrat primary, I know everybody's so focused on Trump, they want to forget that that was a hotly contested Democrat mm-hmm. primary, and that the Democrat Party stepped in and stopped Bernie from getting the nomination.
Mm-hmm.
And what really struck me, and I wrote about this in the book, I thought the bigger story coming out of that election cycle was not Trump. It was that 40% of the Democrats voted for an avowed socialist. And I think those mm-hmm. numbers have only mm-hmm. gotten larger over the years.
Right. And so, I mean, so of course, it's very convenient for Democrats that, you know, the press basically always focuses on any instance of division within the Republican Party. So that's why we have news cycle after news cycle over these basically fringe figures, you know, such as Liz Cheney on the right, you know, Mitt Romney, these never Trump figures that really do not represent basically at least 90%, if not more, of Republicans who really united while Trump was president under the sort of policies that he put forth. They were very uniting for Republicans as a whole. But on the Democrat left, that, you know, they do not have the same sort of party unity. And, you know, now that they're in charge, that kind of brings that division to the fore. So that sort of internal squabbling, I think, is, you know, we don't see a lot of reporting on that like we would if there was a Republican in the presidency. But you can bet your buttons that a lot of that internal squabbling and power fighting is absolutely contributing to the absolute dysfunction and chaos of the Biden presidency.
Well, it's a great column you wrote. And folks, we have a direct link to it in the live show blog. Did the New York Times admit Joe Biden is corrupt so Democrats can get rid of him? Joy Pullman is the author, executive editor for The Federalist. Joy, we're going to have to leave it there. Always appreciate your great work.
Oh, same to you. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, there you go. It's a fascinating thing, and I don't think it's that big of a stretch. I mean, I think Joy is onto something here. So, folks, I would encourage you to read this column. All right, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. I want to go to Maria real quick. She's been holding on for a while, listening to us on KYKN out of beautiful Salem, Oregon. Hey, Maria, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, it's so good to always talk to you. And let's put out a big prayer for Herschel Walker. And yay, Trump is coming back on the scene. So I'm real happy to hear all that. So I'm 68 years old, and I lost my grandmother when I was 22. And I had a very close relationship with her. And you know what? I still miss the heck out of my grandma. And to think that these teenagers alone tried to steal a car from a 73-year-old grandmother or yeah. woman and then drag her to her death, to me, that is, I don't care what anybody says, that is just plain evil. To me, when kids, sure, okay, kids mentally aren't as progressive as they could be, and later on in life they you know, the brain gets it together, but what they did was inhumane. It was plain evil. And if I, when I was their age, if I did anything to displease my parents, oh my goodness. So those kids, they knew what they were doing. They're evil. And as far as I'm concerned, the driver of that car should be put to death because he stole that woman, her life. That person stole grandma from the grandkids, and the mother from the grandkids' parents stole her life. And I feel that forfeiture is what should be expected in this case. As for the others who were in the situation with this driver, you know, they're guilty for being there, for allowing it to happen. How can a person truly drag a human being and listen to their screaming and their pleading and their agony and hearing their arm rip away from their body? How can they not be evil, not be complicit with it all? So they should at least get life imprisonment.
Maria, I think that's a pretty reasonable approach to all of this, but we've got to send a message that this kind of behavior just will not be tolerated, and there are exactly. severe consequences for this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
All right. Maria, all right, thank you. thank you so much for calling in, and we appreciate all of our great listeners out in Oregon. You guys, there are a lot of conservatives in Oregon, a lot. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Patty on the line, WSIC is the radio station. Hey, Patty, what's up?
Hey, Todd, I want to talk about this Brown going for SCOTUS. Are you kidding me? She is so far to the left, my God in heaven. And you know what? Joe Biden, he got his wish. And you know what? This is the only thing he's going to get, because in November, we're going to knock the hell out of him.
So you're pretty encouraged by the midterm elections.
Yes, I am. I am very encouraged. I think that, and this one dodges questions like I dodge my neighbor's bullets, okay?
Okay, I believe you, Patty.
I'm not kidding. I mean, this woman, she knows what's going on.
Oh, you're right.
CRT. She don't know what CRT is. She don't know what a woman is. Come on, man. I sound like Joe now. Come on, man. You know what? Let me tell you something. It's so ridiculous what they put Kavanaugh through, what they put Coney Barrett through, what they even put Roberts through. And I'm not a Roberts fan. But they put Alito through it. Every time it's a Republican, they treat us like garbage. But every time we do something, we ask a few good questions or hard questions, we're racist.
And yes, and it's playing out, Patty. It's devious, it's diabolical, but it works. We have to hope the Republicans don't take the bait here. They've got to keep asking the hard questions. Patty.
Oh, I love it. You know, I can tell you right now, I was trying to get away from Lindsey Graham. I got to give Lindsey Graham was tough on her, and I'm glad. And you know, Josh Hawley, they were tough, but they were still respectable. When Kavanaugh and them were in there, they were marching people through there like he was. Come on, you know what? At least, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm so sick and tired of the racism card. I'm sick of it.
Patty, I'm with you and appreciate the great call. We love that you folks are fired up over all this stuff. By the way, Grace, I posted something on Twitter, and I'm catching some blowback now. I know this is
big
shocking.
Big surprise.
No, I just pointed out that not a single senator had asked Judge Brown Jackson if she identifies as a black woman.
Oh, we did discuss this earlier.
And I said that's really presumptuous, and it's downright rude. Although, if she does not identify as a black woman, Biden has a real problem on his hands because he said he was going to put a black woman up there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, people are not exactly... Somebody said, well, there it is, the dumbest blanking thing I have read all day. We don't, and Winnie the Pooh, it's a meme. Winnie the Pooh is actually reading it. We don't have to ask if you're a decent human being. We know the answer to that question.
Dang!
Do you identify as a racist? That's another question. Ouch. The liberal plot to make Republicans look stupid, also known as Operation Let Them Just Speak, is working splendidly.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go. So it seems like a
legitimate
question.
I'm sorry, it's just a little
to
funny to hear people try to insult.
I know. I know. But people really take this seriously. So.
Man, don't read the comments. Don't read the comments.
Hey, we have some breaking news to share with you. We've got to run to break real quick here. We're getting word coming out of Washington that Madeleine Albright, who is the first female U.S. Secretary of State, has passed away. She served during the Clinton administration, so we certainly want to offer our thoughts and prayers for the Albright family. Madeleine Albright has passed away. She was 84 years old. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes. We'll be right back.
It's Macy's Friends and Family Sale. With an extra 30% off the gifts you'll love to give. And get 15% off beauty with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of big savings, like 25% off dressed up designer looks for kids from Calvin Klein and more. Plus an extra 25% off luggage from Samsonite, Delsey, and more. Download the free Macy's app for more great deals at Macy's.
All right, folks, be sure to check out ToddStearns.com later today. All sorts of big stories coming your way. Also, a newsletter coming out in just about 10 minutes or so. So if you haven't subscribed, head over there and sign up. You're really going to like this newsletter. It's we hear from so many of you guys out there about the stories, and we certainly appreciate you guys doing that. Grace Baker, they sent out the official list of the speakers for the big rally.
Ooh.
This coming Saturday. So there you go. We're going to go
official.
Well, I hope it is. This just went out a few moments ago, but here are the speakers over at the Banks County Dragway. And for you,
drag
for you folks, for, yeah, this is not about feather boas.
I was going to say about, or a drag race.
Well, it says dragway. It's the Banks County Dragway. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it.
Sure they do. Wink, wink.
I'm just telling you here. I'm wearing pants. I don't know about everybody else.
I mean, I can loan you something.
That'll be fun when we do the YMCA song, though, right?
Fits right in.
Here are the speakers. David Perdue, State Senator Burt Jones, who's a candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Herschel Walker, our good buddy Congressman Joni Heiss is going to be there. I haven't seen him in a while. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene will be there. Congressman Andrew Clyde, great guy. And I've had a chance to break bread with Mr. Clyde. Vernon Jones is going to be there. He's running for Congress. John Gordon, who's running for Attorney General. Tom Homan, who is the former director of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. And yours truly. And then the big guy. So there you go. That's going to be a fun event, and we look forward to seeing all of you good people out there. Now, if you're going to be going to the rally and during my speech, you got to be sure to shout hello or something. So, and just, you know.
I feel like you need a special something.
Section?
No, like I'm saying, like a special phrase that people call out, not just hello.
Jeezaloo?
Yeah, like Jeezaloo, and then you know it's them.
That works. Can you imagine the president is like, what's wrong with you
Jeez
people? Jeez-a-loo, Mr. And you know he'll have that on a hat before the end of the day.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, get out there. Enjoy the afternoon. We'll see you back tomorrow. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.